Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How's it going over there?
Aloha. Aloha.
Aloha. And you have great weather, and I'm proud to say we have Pat Hyben on the line coming in as our guest.
Yeah.
And he is on the East Coast. So what's your weather like over there?
It's actually warm today. You know, we've had some snow, and we've had some coldness, and the last 2 days, you know, my daughter wanted to wear purposely a tank top and shorts. It's only like 59, you know, in her mind she thinks it's 89, but whatever. You know.
It's like summer out there, right? I just left a month ago, and it's like, I know when you have those teen temperatures, 59 is like 89, huh? Wow. Yeah.
Exactly.
So
spring
we're not
fever.
Complaining. So we're all the way over from one coast to the other, and I'm excited today about the show.
It's going to be awesome. And I just want to, can we introduce Pat? I want to kind of let people know who we're talking to here. But known as the Billion Dollar Agent, New York Times bestselling author of the book Six Steps to Seven Figures. And he hosts his own radio show, podcast. Pat Hyben hosts Real Estate Rockstars. And you had me at Billion Dollar Agent, Pat. You had me at Billion Dollar Agent, my friend. That's awesome. That's awesome. Welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Today we're going to talk about the first half with Pat. He's a pioneer, he's done wonderfully with transaction teams, and he's the benefit of having a team if you're in the real estate industry. This is for brokers and owners, brokers and real estate agents, and so we're going to go into that and chunk it up a little bit. And anybody that'd like to call in can call in to 347-945-5428. If you have questions, you can also email radio@realityuniversal.com. And Pat, what's a good we'll go through the show and do this, but what's a good contact number for you, email, your website, because then we'll go through that later. But we get a lot of our listeners, and people love to, you know, get that in on.
My email is pat@hyben.com. pat@hyben.com. If you'd like to be on our show, if you think you got some game and you'd like to share it, it's matt@hyben, matt@hyben.com. And, of course, my book is on amazon.com. It's called Six Steps to Seven Figures. And my blog is anywhere, my audio blog or my interviews with top realtors, which come out 2 to 3 times a week, is on can easily be found on pathyben.com or on iTunes for free and on Stitcher Radio for free as well.
Wow. Sweet.
Perfect, perfect.
He's
and
everywhere.
Then, Randy, on the second half of our show, you have a guest coming in to tell our listeners
Drew Bischoff. Drew Bischoff is going to join us. He's a filmmaker, videographer, really specializes in helping out nonprofit organizations in terms of their video, so he's covered a ton of events over the years, and just going to talk about his experiences and adding value to nonprofits and businesses and stuff, so that'll be fun.
That'd be great. Yep. So, hey, Pat, let's stick right in. You have quite a lot of people on your team, and in our real estate industry, transaction teams, agent broker teams seem to work well because you have different people that are part of the same transaction. And can you elaborate a little bit on like kind of why you felt that you wanted to go that way and how it started with you and where you've been with it? And you've been very successful with it, so our listeners would love to hear where it starts, because you have people that are starting out and maybe they're a one-man show, two-man show, and they're like, how do we take this to another level? Cost-wise, how do we grow exponentially? Can you know, you've got all the answers to that, so if you could elaborate a little bit.
Sure. You know, it can be simple or it can be difficult. I mean, you know, for me and my personality, I always went by the motto, teams have more fun. I didn't like being the only person working, so I wanted to surround myself with great people and with a great team and build a team and just have a lot of fun with it, you know, but also be in control of it. And I think that two things led me to having a team. Number one was obviously more money, right? I wanted to make more money, and I thought I could make more money by doing more sales. And number two was have more free time. I wanted to leverage myself so I didn't have to be called out to someone's house at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night while my family was home to eat dinner and watching Survivor. I wanted to be with them.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you start out with it? You start out with a couple people and then kept adding on? Because, anytime anything works as well as what you've done, you put a system in place. There has to be checks and balances. So kind of, how did you, from the beginning, did you just start out with a couple and then move on and learn through trial and error? Or did you actually start out with a system from day one?
Well, I think that, trial and error, you know, we had, at one point I had a partnership, and it was fun having that, but I think that was just an easy way to, a risk-free way to kind of build a team that costs a lot of money because you got to give them half the profit, so... that didn't work out. It worked out well, you know, for the time, but eventually I wanted to build my own team and keep all of the profit. So I did that. I think that, you know, two things. The first person I hired was an executive assistant. I always tell people that you want to go administrative first. You want to find a right-hand man or woman that can spit nails, you know?
Somebody,
absolutely. Somebody strong and that you can trust and that can do just about anything. And so I hired that person. A lot of people ask me, should I hire other agents, things like that. And I say, sure, the answer is yes, eventually. But in the beginning, you want to get to the point where your head is going to explode and you can't do any more, and then you need a staff person to help you, and then you want to build that up to where you can't service all the leads that require a licensed person and then hire a licensed person. A lot of people make the mistake and hire a buyer agent or someone right in the beginning, and they still have room left to work leads themselves, and that's a huge mistake, I believe.
That's a wonderful point, wonderful point. Now, the assistant, does the assistant typically, are they licensed or are they just regular assistant that, as you would say, is tough as steel, right? Because they have to be able to handle quite a lot and pressure and calls and you know, all of the business. But so do they typically are licensed or not really?
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't, that's not a prerequisite.
Okay.
But, you know, eventually you can get them all licensed, and I think it allows them to do more, but it doesn't have to be a barrier to entry by any means.
Yeah, it's a good point, though. So you're saying you're set up the foundation first and still work what you can before you just start trying to kind of do the broker model and hire agents up front, right? So that
exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
Wow. So do you do, and then do you do like personality assessment tests, or you just kind of interview them and know from your gut if they're going to be good or not? Do you have any type of...
Yeah, I mean, we do the standard DISC test. I mean, we've been reading that thing for decades, so we got that pretty well down. It's not an end-all, be-all. You know, I had an interesting situation recently. We hired a guy who was 22 years old that came out as a real low C, and which says his attention to detail is poor, and I pointed that out, and he said, yeah, but I'm 22, which means that for 75% of my life, I've had a cell phone in my hand, and I've had a Xbox and iPad and everything else. So, you know, you could take a highly organized 60-year-old and put me in front of a computer to a unorganized 22-year-old, and I'm going to blow the pants off for every day of the week. And I said, you know what, you're right about that. That's very interesting. So the context, does this make sense, you know?
Yeah. It makes total sense. And then you gave him a shot and he worked out, or how'd it go?
Oh, he's brilliant. Yeah, he works out great. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's fantastic. That just shows you that the tests they give you a barometer. But too, that's wonderful. So now with the teams, you've grown it to quite a lot of people, I believe, right? It looks like you have a whole group of people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've always had a big team, and I've always leveraged it more and more, and it's expanded and contrasted. The highest it was 54 people. That was when we did about, on our best year, we did 508 sales, $200 million in sales volume in 12 months. Yeah, but it's shrunk and it's growing back again. So it's interesting.
I found in my industry, because I've done teams over the years, you know, in the past, and we've done it here and there, and it's interesting because even with shrinking, I think now because of the internet and the way things are structured technology wise, you don't need as many people as you did in the old days. You know, I think that's part of the shrinking process. Do you find that true too? Because
technology makes everything faster. Just think about the paperless offices. If you don't have to shuffle papers and stick them in a file and Xerox them and
wonderful.
Label a file and do any of that, I mean, you're saving, 45 minutes every new file you have to do. I mean, it's just, you're right. You're 100% right. It's just a faster process.
Oh, much easier, and people can. Do you find you have most of the people work from home, or do you have them actually come into the office?
You know, if they're an agent, they essentially work from home. Some people like the structure of having a desk in front of them, which is fine, but they don't need that. That's just a personal thing, if they want to have a desk or not.
Yeah, that's great. It's wonderful. And then you're on teams, I know I'm asking a lot of questions, so I want you to just dive in and give what you'd like to
no
say
problem.
About it. But with the team, do you find that it's better? I mean, because we do have a lot of agents and brokers that will come in and listen to on the archives as well. Do you find that it's better to pay salary plus bonus and commissions, or do you find that, it's just different structures depending on what you need with the agents? Because I would think on a team, if a person is going to be, handling the entire lead, that's one thing. But if the person's actually going to be part of the team that, some are going to handle the inspections or the showings or the callbacks or, the paperwork, et cetera, does it get kind of divvied up, or is there a system for that that's cookie cutter?
Well, we have a little bit of both. I mean, we have some people that make no bonuses and all salary, like some collection people we have and some accounting people we have. Then we have other people that make salary and bonuses that work with clients, where we want to incentivize them to be nice and to work extra hard if the client
mm-hmm.
needs it. And then there's other people that are 100% commission. All types.
That's great. So you find that, and you've had a lot of long experience, so you can probably just kind of work it out. Great. Well, so what would you like to tell the audience in reference to maybe some negative things to look out for when you have a team, or the pros and cons, or how you, because you're still, when you're the boss of the team, you're managing that team, even if you're delegating or you're overseeing it, even if you're delegating your staff and other people to handle a lot. Are there any like red flags or anything, any advice you'd like to give the audience if they're going to start a team?
Well, yeah, I think that the most important lesson with teams is just beware of why you're building a team, and pay high amount of focus on your bottom line. There was a time in my career where I had a team, I was building a team, and my goal at the time was to be the number one agent in my county, okay, I was at RE/MAX at the time, and there were three RE/MAX offices. Each one had about 50 agents or so. So let's say there was 150 agents. So it was my goal to be the number one agent. And so that was my focus, and I built this team, and I created this number one agent in Howard County with RE/MAX sort of mentality, and I won this award. And I took my team out for a happy hour, and I remember sitting at the happy hour thinking to myself, man, if only everyone at this happy hour knew that deep down, you know, we haven't made a profit in 5 months.
Because you were spending
every,
right.
Yeah, I'm spending every cent I get, and I'm buying this award. You know, I'm not earning this award, and it was a big aha moment for me. I was really embarrassed inside myself. No one ever knew. I can talk
right.
about it now. It's 15 years ago, but no one ever knew at the time. I was like, yeah, oh, I'm great. Give me love, you know, that sort of thing. And I look back on it now, and I say, oh, my God. And I really think that that's the best advice I could give is, you know.
I
sure,
love it.
Teams have more fun, and teams, you can get more free time. But at the same time, it's not an excuse to forget that you reap what you sow, and you need to work hard to make money, and unless you're making a good profit, it doesn't make sense, you know?
I love that. That is such a great, great word of advice, because I think all of us have been there in that sense where you're, you know, you're trying to reach the goals, and you, once you do it and you've hit it, it's like, okay, no big deal, then reality is setting in, right? But I think, no, I mean, reality, but that's such a good example and such great advice. Because, and I know firsthand as a broker for years, dumping in all my commissions to go put it back in for all the overhead over and over and over, helping everybody else, and at the bottom line wasn't there, you know. It was like, wait a minute, what are we doing? It's such a good
mm-hmm.
point. And you get caught up in that, like, well, you need to do it. You've still got market share. You have this. There's a goal. And that's wonderful advice, gosh, because it's reality, and people get caught up in it when they're you don't know until – you look back later now and go, whoa. But you learn, you know, it's still it's such a great lesson, though, in the long run. And
absolutely.
Absolutely. That is really neat. And the other red flags would be, do you, with the people on the team, you know, you get office politics, you get different personalities, do you kind of try to cut the negative personalities as quickly as possible, or do you just kind of, keep it
yeah, well,
going, or do you
I
find you don't really have that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's there. I mean, it's something you need to be aware of. That's a great question. I'll tell you another story. I remember I hired this girl, and she, the team, I sent them with my own money. I sent them to a seminar, right? So I said, you guys go to this seminar. So they go to this seminar and about selling more houses. And the one girl who I just hired starts talking to everybody at the seminar saying, hey, what is your split? And they say, oh,
oh
well,
God,
we
make they can't do that.
50
oh.
or 60% or whatever, and our broker makes X, or our team leader makes X. And then so she comes back within her head that they're all underpaid. Now, of course, this is somebody who never even really worked at another team, so she didn't know, like, the difference between my team and Joe's team. Right. So
right.
She was just cancerous in her alliance building or her well, it's kind of like starting a mini union, but thank God it's in real estate, independent contractors. You don't have such a thing. So anyway, she started talking to all the agents. We need to group together. And she called for a dinner. And one of my other
agents. Oh, you're kidding.
Agents, no.
Whoa.
One of my agents who's still with me today, you know, who had been with me a long time, called me aside and said, look, I just want to tell you that there's this, you know, mini union going on. And I told her that I don't, meaning she told the agent I hired, the new agent, that I don't want to have anything to do with it. And she better watch her ass because, you know, she gets caught. This is the stuff that people get fired for. Well, she went ahead and had this dinner and presented this thing, and then she started coming to me saying, you know, we're all together on this and that sort of thing. And so what I did is I just went and I fired her.
Exactly.
And, she was shocked. I mean, she was like, fire me? How can you fire me? I'm an independent contractor. I said, I can kick you off the team. You know, I said, look what you're doing.
Exactly.
And she was really surprised. I remember it was tough for me, and so I let her go, and then after that, you know, all the other agents zipped up and got to work, and I never heard anything about it ever since then. But
that's fantastic.
You know,
I've run into
too, you know?
Yeah, I've run into that where we now tell everybody, you know, whether it's salary or admin or agents, commission splits are not discussable. You know, they're not to be discussed, and that is room for termination because it's a problem. Because there's different reasons people are on different splits, and, you know, with their experience and what they've done, et cetera, right? And, yeah, so, boy, that's I'm glad you were able to nip it in the bud, but that couldn't have been fun. That must have been a horrible experience going through that.
Yeah, because she didn't want to leave either. She was apologetic, and I'll change, and I'm sorry, and all that, which made it worse. But I just, you know, and looking back, I probably shouldn't have been so tough. I think at the time, you know, I mean, if it were today, I would probably just take her aside and be like, I'm going to fire you, you know, if you don't get it together. But at the time, that's how I handle it, but I remember it. It was very tough. It was tough for me to fire her, and she was crying and everything like that. But whatever.
But you know what?
You know,
I think you did the right thing, though, because it showed the rest of the crowd, the rest of the group, that this isn't going to be tolerated, and it was wrong. So I still think you did the right thing, even though those decisions are never easy when you have to fire somebody on the spot.
Right.
But, you know, it's not. But I still think it sounds like you did the right thing. And that's why we mention to people now that, you know, that's not to be discussed. And it goes along with the admin people, too, right? Because it's in a company. That creates so much problems. But, so where our industry is definitely so rewarding, yet a lot of issues that come up, huh? So,
mm-hmm.
Well,
most
this
definitely.
Has been great talking about the transaction team. So having to do it all over again, you'd still definitely keep moving in these in with teams, right? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Overall.
I would never work. I have a saying, everything in my life has to be ELF, ELF. And ELF stands for easy, lucrative, and fun.
Wow. We got it. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. No, it's awesome. It's awesome. And I wanted to ask you another question.
I won't do it, you know.
That's smart. I've got to start doing that. I've got to start saying, wait a minute, this part. Wait a minute, the fun isn't in. Okay, let's nix it. No, we're not going to do it. No, I think that's awesome. That's awesome.
Wow.
And Pat, you found that it was better to kind of to do it under the umbrella of a company, another brokerage always pretty much. Did you want to do it?
I've been at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 companies. I had my own company 2 years, you know, there's benefits to everybody and to every situation, and every market is different. I think at the end of the day, none of it really matters. You can be with any company. You're the one that's going to be the top agent. You know, some companies certainly have better education and better splits and better opportunities to make additional monies and better, you know, there's always a, you know, different reasons to go different places. And it's not only in real estate, but that's the American
that's
way.
That's true. So, well, you wonder, though, because with the support or not non-support, you know, and you just wonder which way is the best. I've done it my own. I was with RE/MAX in 1989, but I've done my own all these years after that. And there's been pros and cons, and it's definitely costs more money at times, though, to where you're not seeing the bottom line, I think. But that is great. Well, now we're almost our show. The first half goes by so fast, and I always want to talk so much longer with you too. But we're almost. We've got about 6 minutes left. Tell us about the book you wrote, and
sure.
The target market is for everybody or brokers .
Well, what happened was when I originally wrote the book, it was like a 450-page book, and I wanted to make it a self-help book for everybody. And I started talking with a mentor in the publishing business, and he said to me, I'll never forget, he said, Pat, there's riches in the niches.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're going to make more money, you're going to sell more books, it's going to be easier for you if you if you focus on a niche, i.e. real estate agents. So, you know, and he had good advice. I mean, I guess I'll never know if he really had good advice or not, but we've sold about 18,000 books. I think that out of those 18,000, probably 17,000 were sold to real estate agents or people in the real estate field. The other 1,000 were sold to various people. If you look at the reviews on Amazon, you know, I have like 30-some reviews, and it's funny because a couple of them are, hey, you know, I'm in auto parts sales, and this book was great for me, and this is not just for agents, it's for everybody. So, you know, it certainly makes sense, and it's short enough of a book that anybody could read it and get it. But at the same time, it's talking about me and my life. And my first 20 years out of college, I was solely pretty much a real estate agent. And so it's geared toward that. And I think because of that, I have a bulk sales I certainly see all the time, you know, because I get to see the numbers like on a random Tuesday in August, some small town in Ohio will buy 50 books, and I know it's because the office manager bought them all for the agents. So I think that helps.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and it's called Six Steps to Seven Figures, right?
Exactly.
Six Steps to Seven Figures from Pat Hyben. I guess you can buy it on Amazon or anywhere, right?
Buy it Amazon, anywhere. It's even in libraries and bookstores, but it's the easiest way to get it is Amazon or, you know, Barnes & Noble or something like that.
Fantastic. Wow,
Very cool. Just
a wealth of information. You've done really successful. You've been very successful, and it's interesting in our industry. There's so many life lessons we learn along the way because we deal with so many people and so many situations.
Absolutely, and one thing leads to another, doesn't it, Natalie? I mean, it's just like you never know where life is going to lead, but it always leads somewhere better.
You know, it's funny because I love the self-help and I've always spiritually, and I was always saying, why is it real estate? Why is it real estate? And it was like I was told about 10 years ago, it just came to me. It's a vehicle, and it's a vehicle that's an important vehicle because people need it everywhere, you know, and it's just amazing the amount of lives you're able to touch. And that's kind of what
riches
I like to do.
Riches in the niches. I like it.
Yeah. You're right. Huge. Riches in the niches. Boy, you gave us a ton of nuggets today. We're so happy to have you on.
I took notes.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah,
we got a fun show. I'm going to have to start listening to it more and definitely keep in touch. I'd be happy to come on anytime. And
we'd
likewise,
love to have you on. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
And I'd love
and
to do,
you
yeah, let me know.
Come.
I'd love to.
Yeah, okay. I'll send you an invite and I can get you guys
wonderful.
On. Yeah.
That'll be wonderful. That'll be wonderful. So, this is cool. And plug in again so people, because we're just about at the end of the second half, your information again so you can repeat how they reach you and everything. So.
Yep, it's Pat Hyben Interviews Real Estate Rock Stars on the Hyben Network, and it is on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and my email is pat@hyben.com. My website is pathyben, H-I-B, like boy, A-N.com.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Well, thanks again,
guys. To when I come out to Maryland. Well, thanks for coming on. Go, more power to you, and congratulations.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Pat Hyben, the billion-dollar agent, New York Times best-selling author, and, again, his book, Six Steps to Seven Figures. And, again, he also, as he mentioned, host of Pat Hyben Interviews Real Estate Rock Stars, and that's on Stitcher and iTunes. So he's everywhere, pathyben.com. And I took notes, man. I like the elf. Anything he does got to be easy, lucrative, and fun. I want that one. I'm just going to.
Me too. We
got to
add the fun part. Yeah.
We got to add, yeah, and the easy part. But we will. And, and also, I love what he said about the riches and the niches. I think people sometimes who are creatives get scattered, you know, and get ADD and shiny squirrel, and I'm chief of sinners in that regard. So I really resonated with the riches and the niches, man. Pick the pool or the pond you're going to fish in, you know, and make it the right one, and then go all in, you know.
And,
I love
and
that.
Definitely go out and look at that Six Steps to Seven Figures by Pat Hyben and H-I-B-A-N. is the spelling of his last name, and I think you'll really enjoy.
Very, very cool. This has been awesome. Now we're going to just kind of switch gears, of course, second half of the show. Really don't want to take a break because, again, with Drew Bishop, we're going to be, the time is going to fly by. But Drew is with us. He's on the line. And he is a videographer, among many, many other things. I mean, obviously, the trick here will be getting everything in, you know, in the 30 minutes. But an AV and event industry pro who's a champion of event and meeting technologies. He helps people engage their audiences in all kinds of creative ways. Passionate about simplifying cutting-edge technologies so that his clients can add virtual components to their in-person live events. And he's done all kinds of very, very cool stuff. Most recently did a huge conference in L.A. called the Justice Conference a few weeks ago. And he is on the line with us. Hey, buddy, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drew, by the way, Natalie, just to kind of let you know, in terms of Drew is kind of like me. He's a Maui lover who is finds himself in Northern California, and we both share a love of Maui, and he is, of course, Mr. Video Guy. So literally, if people have questions, and you are listening live, and I know we get a lot of archived listeners, but if you happen to be listening live right now, 347-945-5428. Dr. Drew is on the line with us if you have video questions. 347-945-5428 if you want to call, because this whole concept of in-person video, dude, is amazing. So why don't you kind of give us the overview, the everyman's version, because I know a guy like you can get really knee-deep in the technical stuff, but give us kind of an everyman's, Randy even can understand version of what you do,
sure.
You know, for big events and stuff.
Sure. Well, so I started years ago by accident, literally, just filming live events for clients. And along the way, as YouTube became a really big phenomenon, I began to have clients who wanted to put their content from their conferences online. And really, what it came down to was is clients began to realize that there was a significant untapped opportunity to extend their live events to a virtual audience. And so I began to think about and experiment with how to help them achieve that. In our world today, in the event world, people want to reach a wider audience. They want to stimulate collaboration and engagement around their live events, both with the people that are attending in person, but also to the people who can't attend and won't attend for various reasons. And so we just, we built our company to help our clients achieve those goals.
Great.
So, yeah, and it makes sense with the it makes sense, obviously, with social media now and everything else where everybody is already connected. And literally, I'm guessing, when an event goes live somewhere, you can literally have people in that organization send a link out to social media, email, whatnot, and people can join. Or if it's a pay-per-view event, I guess it can be both, right? It can be either just to expand the audience or I'm guessing a pay-per-view as well, right?
It can. There's actually we've actually developed a number of different ways to help clients achieve these end goals that I spoke of. Some clients want to do a literal live, we call it a live stream or a webcast. It's kind of like what we're doing right now, except there's a video component that's also part of it, right? So it's like TV online. So some clients want to do that, and we definitely can. We can go in and provide obviously all of the the production assets on site, but also help them with getting the link out and enabling people to watch from any device. And some of our clients want to just offer that for free to the non-attending audience, and other clients do want to do what you mentioned, Randy, which is a pay-per-view style. In fact, we've helped a couple of clients do a pay-per-view style approach and seen significant, really significant results financially for the client to do that. And then we have other clients who they like the idea of a live stream or a webcast, but their fear is that it will cannibalize their in-person attendance.
Yeah.
And so for those clients, we've developed what we think is really the next best thing. And it's where we go in and we capture all of the content from the conference, and we do conferences big and small. We've done conferences that are eight simultaneous tracks. So literally, over 3 or 4 days, we're capturing and producing 100 separate individual sessions from their event.
Wow.
And under this model, where they don't want to do a live stream, we load it all online and make it available for video on-demand playback. But the key is I've developed a proprietary solution that allows us to do all of the capture and editing right there on site in real time. So that literally, Randy, if you were on stage giving a presentation, and I know you give a lot of presentations, if I was capturing you, as soon as you step off the stage and are done with your presentation, I'm done capturing you and have a finished, edited video file that's ready to go up on a web server and be able to be watched. Yeah.
So you've created that.
I've created a proprietary hardware-software solution to do that. And so we offer this solution. We call it Presentation Capture HD. We offer this to clients who have that fear of a live webcast, but still want to do the hybrid event where they can incorporate a virtual audience.
Well,
Presentation Capture HD, and it just makes it perfect. You don't have to go in there and you don't have to edit it yourself. It's just kind of...
They edit it on the fly, basically, right?
We do the editing on the fly in real time, but we have personnel on site that are doing the editing during the event. Yeah, it's not that it's just done by a machine. It's actually done by people. It's just done in real time instead of after the fact.
Fantastic. That's fantastic.
So let me ask again. So for instance, this person, this group, and I think, for instance, I thought of Christian festivals. It'd be great, but that same objective or objection, I should say, came up when I approached them with Spirit West Coast here in California. I talked to them because there's a lot of people who can't come, and you could either for them. If they weren't worried about the cannibalization factor, people could pay-per-view and watch it live. Or if they are worried about that, and again, I guess though with a concert, you've got to then get permission from the band, and that gets a little wacky with the music record company, right? But my thought was, let's go back to your example of just a speaker in a conference. Say Natalie and I were doing a conference, and we're talking about doing that. That could become a product to sell afterwards, correct, on the website?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And that's where a lot of clients are seeing value. In fact, since you bring that up, Randy, this is a good, if I may, way to interject another idea here. When we're talking about video for events or conferences, inevitably one of the immediate things that jumps to mind for the person who's an event organizer is, video is always expensive, right? It's not uncommon for us to be, if we're not the number one budget line item on your budget, we're probably in the top three. So that, too, is a big obstacle. Well, how do we afford this? We'd like to do it, but it's expensive. So we've developed this only works for certain events. And so we qualify we ask clients to qualify for this on an event-by-event basis. But we've developed a unique approach here. So follow me if you can. So for an event that has a reasonably high perceived value for their event content, we offer certain clients the opportunity where we will come alongside and partner with them. And what we say to them is this: we will take away almost all of the risk. Basically, we'll take away almost all the upfront costs for the video. And instead, what we'll do is we will partner with you in selling your event content. We'll basically do a revenue split. So assuming that, basically you can sell us on the idea that you have a sizable non-attending audience that can be marketed to, and assuming that that non-attending audience has an adequate perceived value of your content, then basically what we do is we ask for a small guarantee fee up front, which is just your skin in the game. But it ensures that you believe enough in the idea. Okay, but typically this fee is somewhere in the range of 60 to 80% below what we would normally charge under a fee-for-service model. So it's significantly reduced. But then here's the other cool thing is we will actually return the fee to you out of the very first funds that come in from the sale of the digital content. Okay.
Yeah, no, so the digital content. Do you give the copy the rights to each party, like, or do they have to work out an agreement where you're always splitting the profit? Or like, can you market it? Can they market it? And then, or it's just it depends on the agreement, right? Or is it a pretty straight structure?
It does depend on the agreement, but typically the rights to the content belong to the event organizer. So meaning we don't want the rights to the content. We want to help you as an event organizer create
okay.
a new revenue stream from your event. So we give you all the rights to the content.
Okay.
And then we would help you market the content. But the key to it is, again, in the context of us being agreed that this is workable, there's a workable, you know, non-attending audience to market to. What you get is you get almost no risk. In fact, again, let's put it in concrete terms. If
sure.
if under a fee-for-service model, I would normally charge, say, $20,000 to capture your event, I would probably come to you under this model, under the rev share model, and say, look, I want a guarantee fee of $5,000, and the first $5,000 in gross revenue that comes in the door from the sale of the digital content, I will return to you and thereby give you your $5,000 back. After that, all the rest of the revenue, we will split according to our revenue share agreement.
Wow.
So you basically have no risk except your $5,000, meaning we got to sell at least $5,000 to have you have literally no risk.
Yeah,
after
right.
that, we both just split the money. So
tell me, how do people contact you and your company?
Sure. The easiest way to contact us, our website is hybrideventsgroup.com, and events is plural, so hybrideventsgroup.com. And they can reach me at Drew, D-R-E-W, at hybrideventsgroup.com.
Perfect, perfect. Hybrideventsgroup.com.
Yep.
Excellent.
Now, you have... Drew, you have done this is amazing. This gets my motor going because I think that as we said in the first half, I think with Pat, sometimes the challenge with creatives is squirrel ADD, a lot of ideas, and and being able to focus in some niches where there are riches, if you will. And I think that really applies to what you're talking about because you're after conferences. I mean that are medium to large and extra large, I mean, in terms of, I think, attendance and or budget. But then also, you kind of are an amazing kind of one-stop shop in that you also do, shooting video and editing video for people who just want maybe workshops, recorded or sporting events or, right? So it's kind of a wide range of things that you do.
How do you
it's
do that,
true,
though?
Right?
Do you have other people in other areas, or you just do it work in certain locations? Or
that's a great question. So we have we work with a group of skilled and trained contractors that we contract out to do to provide our various services. We have about a team of about 15 lead people that we've trained around the country, and actually we have several on the island of Maui, so we can
even
cover Hawaii. So we do use that, but I also do a lot of the work myself, depending on the nature of the event. I definitely like to, anytime we engage a new client, I like to go out and work with the client, especially on the first event, just to provide really good customer service and get a really good understanding of the client and their needs. But Randy, in response to what you had mentioned, what you said is definitely true. I do a lot of smaller events for folks that are, I'm able to work with them on a much more cost-effective basis. I've gone out and done half day small projects for people for sometimes as little as just a few hundred dollars depending on the nature of what they need done. And the beauty of going back to you for a second, the presentation capture solution, for bigger conferences, you're right, we do target a lot of medium and larger size conferences, but the solution is so efficient and effective that we're actually able to make it make sense for small workshops and small conferences
wow.
a lot of times as well.
That's fantastic.
It's not uncommon for us to be able to deliver finished, edited, captured sessions to a client for as little as $400 a session, which is really quite reasonable.
That's amazing. For like a couple-hour session, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing, because that's the workshops. Wow. You know, most of the workshops run about 3 hours, you know, and then give or take. I mean, you're going to end up 4 or 5 hour days, but they run up on the average, you know, some of the smaller workshops. And that's great.
Hey, Drew Bishop is with us. And again, the website is Hybrid Events. I'm sorry, I started to write it down and I couldn't write so fast. What's the website again?
Yeah, hybrideventsgroup.com.
Group.com. There it was. Okay, so hybrideventgroups.com, and check him out there. And again, man, that's super creative. The way you've talked about that idea of partnering with, you know, an organization, it does make it very cost effective. And you've done some amazing events. Like you just did this huge justice conference in LA. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. The Justice Conference was a fun conference. It was a different conference for us, meaning it was more creative. There was, I think, a dozen different bands that were involved, and then there was just a single track of plenary sessions over a couple of days. But we provided six different video cameras and a full-blown live stream. They simulcast it to dozens of different partner sites around the world. And I brought my team in we handled all of the video and the switching, and the production of the video part of the event. So it was a ton of fun. It was a great conference. Conferences focused on social justice issues all around the world, and they're doing some really great things, partnering with a lot of great people around the world for all kinds of different social justice causes. So I was thrilled to just, you know, have the chance to be involved just from that standpoint, but from a production standpoint, it was a fun event. It was a great event, and I think we touched a lot of people with what we did there.
And the venue was a very famous venue in L.A., wasn't it?
It was. It was done at the Orpheum Theater in downtown L.A., and it was a tremendous, ornate, beautiful theater. They've shot all kinds of films there and TV shows and stuff, so that made it a lot of fun as well.
Oh, my God. So now this also, I mean, I just start thinking about the sporting event possibilities, you know. I mean, where there's a big sporting event that, you know, and again, well, let's, for instance, I'm talking out loud now, like other people who might be listening going, huh, and they're starting to think about some of their events. I mean, if it's too big of an event, you might get into a little bit of a copyright issue or a conflict with like a network. Say my mind goes to maybe a football playoff game, college level. If it's one that's maybe carried by a network, obviously there are rights there that couldn't. But if there's a college football game, say in any part of the country, or basketball or baseball or whatever, and it's not on a network, I guess you'd have license there, and you'd be the talk to me about that and how that breaks down.
Sure. And what you bring up is accurate. I'll give you something else you might actually relate to yourself a bit, Randy. So every year on Maui, there is the Xterra. My mind just went blank. The Xterra. Can hold it up in Kapalua. What is it? I don't have my internet in front of me. No. It's a triathlon. It's not a triathlon.
Oh,
Anyway.
Okay, so that's being filmed by different people then, is what you're getting. Yeah.
It is. It's sponsored by Red Bull, and there are networks involved. They actually approached me a couple of years ago about helping with the live streaming, but we ran into the very issue you were bringing up, which is there are rights involved. Red Bull has certain rights to the content, and, you know, so it makes those types of things sticky. But there are a lot of events, smaller events, you know, all manner of sporting events from high school, you know, all kinds of high school sports, frankly, even, you know, Little League, Pop Warner football, you know, some of the lower level college games where there are no TV rights involved, where, you know, a guerrilla style portable live streaming production setup can actually lend real value to an event. So be able to go in, you know, set up, and the production costs are way lower than bringing in a sat truck and bringing in a full-scale, you know, television broadcast. We can go in and do, you know, small events like that. Again, if it's only a few-hour event, it's not uncommon for us to be able to stay under the $1,000 mark to, say, go in and live stream an event and make it available to people to watch. another good example of this is there's actually another Maui connection here. There's a lady that lives on the North Shore of Maui. Her name's Samantha Bittner, and she runs the American Windsurfing Tour. And I'm actually talking to them right now about streaming their windsurfing events. In fact, their opening event this year is in Santa Cruz, where, you know, that's the type of event that makes a lot of sense. You know, they have a lot of eyeballs. They have a lot of interest on that. There's no network involved, so there's no rights management issues. It'll be a multi-day event, but it'll be cool to just go and set up on the beach with a couple of cameras and film the, you know, the windsurfing event. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of opportunity that way.
Wow. Wow, dude. Mind-boggling, man. There's so much potential and opportunity out there. And, oh, my gosh, I think of, like, here in Chico, they have the Almond Bowl, which is the big local high school thing. So you could go to small-town America and whatever their big event is, just cha-ching, 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 you know, Shasta College up where you are and, you know, in Reading. And anyway, yeah, my mind just starts going crazy with this stuff, and I love
the idea.
And I don't.
But I think the quality of your work speaks for itself. That's the big thing, you know, because so many people now are just using their own equipment, you know, just to do it. And you've got a lot of people that are amateurs, and it's much easier these days to do that than it would have been even 5, 10, 15 years ago, right? And I think it's the quality that you bring to the table, right, that's making such a huge – it's huge.
Well, it's true. And, you know, there are people out there who they just don't have the budget. And you're right, it's easier than ever to do these things. You can take your iPhone and download – you know, an app from Ustream and set up a free account, and you can broadcast, you know, over a cellular network from a beach or a football game or wherever you are. And for some people, that makes sense. But, you know, that's not a terribly interesting production. We come in with, you know, with our guerrilla style approach, and we've upped the quality to where it's probably 90-95% of what you would typically get on a full-scale television broadcast, but it's done at, you know, less than 20% or maybe less than 10% of the cost that you would otherwise be facing to have a typical TV broadcast. So, we fill a need there for people who want a much more interesting, engaging broadcast but can't afford to bring in a sat truck and do stuff like that.
Right. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Mm. Well, Drew Bishop, again, is our guest. We have just a few more minutes. I knew this would fly by. If you want to contact him, hybrideventsgroup.com, hybrideventsgroups.com.
I think it's hybrid events with an S, right? Group.com.
Right? Yes, hybrideventsgroup.com. Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So contact Drew, and whether, again, you're thinking about a big conference or, you know, or a sporting event, or as he said, even just having a 3 or 4 hour session videotaped and edited. And again, he's got folks on the island of Maui. If you're on the islands, you know, that's just a little plane ride over to Oahu, where Natalie is hanging out. And, of course,
and I'm
going to
be over in Maui some, too. So, yeah, sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Drew, so in the last few minutes, man, I just want to, because I know you're a God guy, you know, with us, and I know you're a follower of Christ, and talk a little bit, if you will, about just talk about your faith a little bit, just in the closing minutes. I know you've been you've had the opportunity, because of what you do, to partner with some amazing folks, like, of course, the gang at Hope Chapel and Basketball Maui, and talk about some of your involvement with faith-based organizations, maybe a little bit of your faith walk.
Sure. I came to know the Lord at a young age. I've been a believer for 34 years. And so, yeah, faith is important to me. We had the great fortune to be able to live on Maui for several years. I feel like in some ways, Randy, we're kind of living in exile on the mainland right now, hoping to return
to
Maui someday.
Yeah, our hearts are there.
But yeah, hearts are there for sure. And you know, have a just so many great memories and friendships that continue on with the folks at Hope Chapel. So was thrilled to get involved with Ben Pangnell and Craig Englert and all the folks there at Hope Chapel in Maui. And we have had a chance to partner with a number of great faith-based organizations. We, you know, we worked with Ben on producing the, we did a live stream of the Night of Shooting Stars basketball game for Basketball Maui. Trying to think here, I think it was not last year, but the year before. and had a blast doing that. Really fun game and great organization there. Basketball Maui is what they're doing there in the islands, you know, teaching youth the value of sports and sportsmanship and hard work and, you know, setting goals and achieving them and stuff like that. So it was great to work with them and actually continue to, you know, dialogue with Ben about helping them in the future here. And then we also got a chance to work with Hope Chapel and again with Ben and putting on the vertical event that they did on Maui this last year. They brought Francis Chan in and really great event. We broadcast that all around the world. People were able to watch. So that was
fantastic.
Were some great events there. You know, we talked about the Justice Conference. Interestingly, you know, we've talked some, Randy, about live streaming and what a great tool it is. It brings the ability to do video and kind of television online to the masses in a way. And there's some other interesting applications for it. And you asked about faith-based involvement. And one of the things that we got involved in, we've actually done just two of these so far, and they're always sad to do, but we've actually live-streamed several funerals. In fact, Hope Chapel lost one of its founding pastors, Jake, there just here in a few months ago in November. And we broadcast all around the world Jake's funeral and memorial service to a lot of the people that were really touched
they
by his life
come,
and
right?
ministry. We had people watching in Brazil and people watching in Bulgaria, and Jake had a lot of involvement with some churches in those regions of the world, and we were able to use the power of live streaming to connect those people to Jake's memorial service, and we actually did the same thing a few years prior when Hope Chapel lost Kurt Frank. We did the
Oh,
same
Kurt
thing.
Franks, yeah.
So
Huge. I mean, that's huge. That would be something I think a lot of people would want, you know, because in like how they have funeral packages, for example, that's huge because so many people die in one place but lived in several places. And I mean, not to sound morbid, but people want to come in. That's huge to be able to do that.
Yep. Absolutely.
And wow.
Yeah, so kind of
that's
a unique,
cool.
And you know, it's a hard to talk about, hard to, you know, nobody wants to have to do those kind of things, but it's a unique way to use live streaming to, yeah, like you said, to bring together.
But that's a whole other market, don't you think? Kind of another market. I know my son had a friend. Well, they had a wedding, just a wedding in California, and the 90-some-year-old grandmother couldn't be there. She was in a home in on the East Coast, and so they filmed so that she could be there, but, you know, of course, through video. But, I mean, that's just a whole another segment because the world, the way people live and travel, and, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
weddings
like
and funerals
selling.
Are another area that we've worked in. So, yeah, different applications for this amazing technology.
When I think about that, I think about selling, you know, people who sell, you know, cemetery plots, right? That's, quote-unquote, obviously big business because it's, you know, you're always going to have, you know, demand, right? But I kind of see that as almost an add-on or maybe to somebody who's already, you know, selling those kinds of things. I don't know. It's kind of awkward to market that. I mean, in a way.
No,
but
for funerals and weddings, it's huge, I think.
Yeah.
I think
weddings.
No, but
oh
I know what
gosh.
You mean. I guess awkward in the sense of when you know the person and you're doing it, it's sad. But it's also a good way to celebrate and bring all the people together, you know. Wow.
We've got 60 seconds, my man. Drew Bishop, thank you so much, dude. This has
thank
been amazing.
You.
HybridEventsGroup.com, HybridEventGroups.com. Man, check him out. Contact him for your event, large or small, and he'll let you know how he can help. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. It's been wonderful.
All right, man. Aloha.
Aloha. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.